Amen.
Lord.
Get this one switched. Get me on this one, if you would. It's good to be here this morning. Enjoyed that singing. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you got your Bible, I'm going to read one verse in Matthew chapter number 13. I'm going to touch on just a couple before we read it. But you know, what we want when it comes time for preaching, any part of the services, we want what God wants. I say that, I believe that, and I told somebody last Sunday that I really feel like every time I stand and preach, I need to preach like it's my last time. Amen. You don't never know when it's going to be your last time. Amen. See, if you look at what's going on in the world today, he could be saying right now, son, go get your church. You know, there's a lot of things going on in the world. God's not changed. And he's not going to change. You know, I went this week, I was telling a couple of folks, I went and took my son over to high school, my youngest boy. He's getting ready to go to high school. And I looked at the year he's going to graduate. 2023. And I looked at that thing and I said, son, you realize 40 years ago, I graduated. And I got to thinking about it. That's a long time. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, that's a long time. But you know what I began to think about as I started thinking about it? And sometimes we do this. We go back over the journeys of our life, the paths you walk with God. And a relationship I had with the Lord at that time. And folks, there's a lot of things changed in 40 years. But God's not changed. There's a lot of things changed in our country. We've seen leadership rise. We've seen leadership fall. We've seen things happen around the world. We've seen leaders at one time that you thought, I don't know how we'll ever get through this. They're in the past. But the name of Jesus Christ is still the only name whereby a person will ever be saved or enter into heaven. And the world might be, really, sometimes I look at it and it just bothers me so much. I get to this point, I say, I don't know if I really want to see any more of that. Sometimes I see things because of the technology that we have that maybe we wouldn't have seen a few years ago. And by the way, all that means is we're getting closer to the coming of the Lord. Because Daniel said in the last days, many will run to and fro and knowledge will be increased. It's not ever 7 years anymore. It's not ever 3 years anymore. But it's faster than you can go buy the next iPhone. There's going to be another one. And rather than allowing this to pull us away from God, it ought to cause us to realize, based on what the Word of God says, that we're getting close. When we see the wickedness and we see the sin, and we see as it right now, I don't know if you realize this, but there's a tremendous increase in the rise of the occult in this country. You go to college campuses and you go in public speaking classes, I'll guarantee you, you'll not sit through a semester that somebody doesn't get up before the class and talk about Wiccan. Just this week, there was a very, very well-known singer came out, and I saw it. It came out in December, but the first exposure to me, a very well-known singer came out with a clothing line that honors Lucifer and pedophilia. And when I saw it, I preached last Sunday. I said, are you appalled? I don't know what to say anymore. Other than this, church, we need to get ready for Jesus to come. And we ought to be praying that God would save somebody that's lost because the time is getting close. It's going to be running out. Because I look at this stuff and I pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. There's so much to preach, but I only have so much time. Let's get into the Word of God, and here's the title of the message this morning that we want to share with you, is Recognizing the Treasure. Now, if you go to the 13th chapter of Matthew, what I want us to see is we see Jesus speaking to the people in parables. You know, the 31st verse, I just want to read part of it. Here's what he said. He said another parable he put forth to him, and he said this, the kingdom of heaven is like... Okay, you come over to the 44th verse, we're going to read it. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like.
If you go to the 45th verse, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. The 47th verse, Jesus said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like. And folks, I can't preach all of that. So we're going to go to the 44th verse today, and I believe the Lord's going to let me go to the 45th and the 46th soon, because he jumped on me with it this week. But this is what I have on my heart. It's a parable of a hidden treasure. Listen to this simple verse, verse number 44. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy, therefore, goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now, that's a very simple little verse, one verse. And let's look at that verse for just a minute and understand what it's saying in the breakdown of the story. A man is surveying or looking at a field, and I don't know if you've ever bought any property, but you go and you walk through it. I love to do that. I love to walk through the woods, but he's walking, he's surveying the field, he's looking at the piece of property, and as he's walking through it, he finds a hidden treasure. You know, there are treasure hunters today that are spending their life looking for pirates' treasure. There are people right now that are searching for the Ark of the Covenant. There are people that are spending their life looking for things by the same token. There are people that will not, when a lottery runs up, let it get by without going to multiple stores buying multiple tickets, still looking for treasure. Well, when the man, he sees the treasure in the field, it's almost like you're walking along and you have a brick or a rock and you kick it and all of a sudden there's something under it and you slide it back over. What he does is he hides that treasure. He doesn't tell anyone that he's found it. And he looks at the price of the field, and in order to buy the field, he basically has to go and sell everything that he has. He sells his house. In this case, he might have sold his wagon, he might have sold his oxen, he might have sold his sheep, he might have sold his furniture, everything that he has to get the money in his hand. People say, well, why do you have to have that field so bad? And he goes and he buys it. Because he's found this hidden treasure that's in the field. Now, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to imagine for just a minute. Have you ever looked at something or thought when you saw it, I've just got to have it. I got to have that. You know, I went through a period of time. I used to love to play golf, and I'll tell you why I don't play golf now, because I don't play enough. And when I do, it's two Motrin before, two Motrin after. And I just got to the point I'm through with that kind of suffering, okay? But I used to, boy, I'd play two times a week. And I thought every time, Brother Tommy, a new driver came out, that was what it was. I had the Big Bertha. I had the TaylorMade burner. I had the burner, too. I had the steel shafts. I had the fiberglass shaft. I had the rifle shaft. Had a guy tell me one time, he said, you do have a basement door, don't you, so you can get that stuff in without your wife seeing it. You know, you know, ladies, I know, a lot of times, what do we say? What you got to have. I mean, I don't know how many of you ladies have 25 pairs of shoes. But I can imagine there's some ladies in here that don't hold a candle. They go shopping and they got these Coach bags now. And I look at it and I think, what's the difference in that and the one that got it to Big Lots? I can't tell the difference. But if you look at something, you just say, I just got to have it. I can remember the first real job I ever had, I got it in my head. I wanted this certain kind of car. I thought here's what I thought. And I remember talking to a wise man that I was working with. And I told him, you know, if I just had that car right there, I'd never want another car. I'd drive that car the rest of my life. He said, yeah, you'd want another car. You know, he knew. He had been through it. Y'all remember the Buick Grand National when it came out, the black one with the 3.8 liter iron V6. I thought, if I just had that. Some of you boys, you think, if I could just get that jacked up truck.
My son got that jacked up truck, Brother Tom. Now he's driving to college. He said, can I drive Mama's car? You see, the truth is, most of the time, whatever, if you could just say, if I only had, that's life. Now, I'll say this, and I want to move on. I had a guy tell me one time, another very wise man, a man had asked me if I was going to go to his 100th birthday party. And I said, no. And he said, you do realize I'm 88? I said, yes. He said, you don't ever want to stop wanting stuff. Because that's what motivates a man to work and to go. Folks, that's a sign of depression, okay? Let's understand that. But all those things have to be put in their proper place. There's nothing wrong with the golf. There's nothing wrong with the fishing or the hunting or the shoes or the coach bags or whatever it is that y'all like to do, the creative memories and all those things. But they got to be in their right place. Now, here's what I want you to really think about as we go through this message, and we're going to come back to this in just a minute, is I want you to think about what is the most important thing in your life. What's the most important thing in your life? It's not going to be any of those things, I wouldn't think, that we just talked about. Okay? Now, in the scripture, the Bible talks about people who have a heart that burns for the things of God. You know, when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, and he appeared several times, multiple times, there was a time when he was walking with them and he expounded to them the word of God. And they said one to another, this is in Luke 24:32, says, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You see, during that time, these disciples were troubled. Jesus had been taken from them, and they had walked with him, and they had followed him. And when he came walking with them on the road, and he began to speak to them, and their heart began to burn. I want to tell you something, church. Our heart ought to burn for the things of God. Amen. You see, if we look at this story, the truth is some people, rather than their heart burning for the right things or the things of God, they actually walk right over the treasure. In other words, they could have been the one that kicked the rock to the side and the treasure been there, but they walk right over it. You see, some people, it's like this. And think about where you are. Can you take it or leave it? In other words, I can go to church. I can not go to church. I can serve God. I cannot serve God. Do you consider it just a matter of convenience or unimportant? Or sometimes it's like this. And this is the distraction of a world where the God of this world hath blinded people's minds to where the truth is a lot of people decide not to even consider it at all. They don't give God any time and they don't think about it. And here's what I want us to understand. We read those verses, the kingdom of heaven is like. Because this story is not really about a treasure that's hid in a field. That's not what this story is about. This story is about the kingdom of heaven. Remember what it said, the kingdom of heaven is like. Now let's look at the segments of this story. Consider the field. The field, I believe, is the world. It's the world that we're living in. We walk through it. And I want to tell you, as I heard a great preacher one time say, and he was preaching this in church, he said, the world will put a pull on you. Yeah. And it will. The field is the world. Well, folks, the treasure is Jesus. Amen. Okay? You think, well, Jesus is this answer to everything. Well, folks, I want to tell you something. If you don't have Jesus, it really don't matter what else you have. You need Jesus, and if you don't know him as your Savior, you need him more than you need anything else. He'll help you with all that other stuff, but he's got to be first. What about the hidden aspect of the story? As I begin to think about it, that actually requires thought. There's scripture that goes along with it that we need to talk to, but that's a reason to preach. That's why we're on this lesson, this message this morning. And then think about this. What will you give up for the treasure? You see, that's up to you. And I just want to go as quickly as I can. I want to give you four important things about the treasure. Here's number one. Number one, you must recognize the treasure. You know, you got to be able to see the treasure. Now, as I begin to think about this, I thought, why do people not see the treasure? The treasure in a relationship with God, the treasure in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And here's what came to my heart and my mind, is perhaps they have not been taught. Somebody's got to tell them. Somebody's got to show them. And it's almost like this, and this is just what's on my heart this morning, as I thought a lot about my children and my grandchildren, and I thought about our young people and your neighbors and my neighbors. Sometimes somebody needs to walk through the field with them. Could you imagine walking through the field? And I want to tell you, most of the time when I go walk through a field or through the woods, I'm not by myself. I've got one of them little old boys straggling along beside me or behind me, and now even when I can, it might be one of them grand boys. And as I'm walking through that field, I tell you what I'm doing. I'm pointing things out to them. I'm showing things to them. And as we walk through life, if this is really not about a field out there and this is about Jesus Christ, as we walk through this world, we need to be teaching them and we need to be showing them and we need to be directing them about what the important things are in life. You see, because the truth is, it's like this. If you've ever walked through a real field, you know sometimes you're going to get distracted by other things. He said there, if you can imagine in the field or in the woods, there's a lot of things growing in the woods. There's things growing in the woods that'll hurt you. I heard somebody say one time, if you're ever out there and you're lost, watch the animals. They'll show you what to eat, what not to eat. What about us? As we walk through the field of life, there are so many things that cause us to get distracted. Things in the field that'll hurt us. You know, there's drugs growing in the field. A lot of the drugs that are destroying people's lives today, where the opiates come from, they're growing. There are things out there, as people walk through this world, the distractions actually keep them from being able to see the real or the true treasure. But once you see this treasure, you must see the value of it. Now, why do people not see the value of the treasure? Now, remember that Jesus is the treasure. Perhaps it's this: the value of the treasure has been hidden from them. And I mentioned this verse a minute ago, and I want to read it to you, and I want us to understand what time that we're living in. I believe we're living in a time that we're really getting close to the return of Christ. People say, well, you know, I don't know about all that. Listen to this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says this, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God and its little g of this world... Well, who's the God of this world? Folks, that's Satan. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the truth is, we come in here on Sunday morning, and sometimes my heart is absolutely so heavy, and I look at the things that are going on in the world, and I look at the distractions that are in this world. And sometimes I pray, God, how in the world can I get up here and preach a powerful enough message? And I actually look at my own heart and I dig down inside of me that Lord, would be enough to cause people that are living in this world with so many distractions to be able to see Jesus and want that treasure more than they want what's in this world. You see, what Satan's doing is he's blinding people's minds and their hearts to the things of God. And this is what amazes me, because we're seeing this today. How can a person be involved with the occult and say they're following Lucifer? You say, well, that don't happen. Happens a lot more than you think.
Amen.
Here's what came to my heart and my mind as I saw this clothing line this week and I began to look at that. I said, don't these people realize that Lucifer was a created being created by God the Father? And one day the Bible says his end is that he's going to be cast into hell, into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And following him and following the things of this world, it has no good end for anybody. Because God is the creator. The scripture says that all things were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Lucifer was light bearer over the kingdom of God. He rose up and rebelled against God in pride, which is what most people actually are turning away from God for anyway. And he's nothing to follow. And following the things of this world will do nothing but lead you to hell. But people are still blinded by it. The things of the world keep them from seeing the treasure. You see, it's almost like this. What one person considers to be junk, another person considers treasure. I want to tell you something, folks. This is treasure to me. Coming into the house of God, being with God's people, the fellowship that we have, the things that God does here, that's treasure to me. I heard a story recently of a family, and you know how it is when older family members pass away. It's unfortunate but true is that the people come. And most of the time, rather than coming together, they want to fight and argue over what's there. And a lot of times, just like the treasure in the field, they don't even understand the value of what's there. The young people came, and it was probably the grandchildren, and they went in to the elder's house. Went up in the attic and they pulled down all of the valuable things that were there and they looked at them and they said, this is nothing but a bunch of junk. And they took a stack of Civil War uniforms with brass buttons. A stack of newspaper clippings from the 1800s that talked about the things that were going on during those times. Things that are invaluable. And they put them out on the fire pile. And it was junk. And they said, she didn't leave us anything of value. But they didn't see what was there. And that's the way a lot of people are when they come in and they hear a message like this. They say, I don't want to be like that preacher. I don't want to be like those singers. You don't understand what's important and you don't understand what value is. The truth is, the things of God have been hidden from your eyes by the devil. He said, I don't believe in the devil. You will. So why do they do those things? They don't recognize the treasure. Now here's something to consider. Why so much value? Why did this guy sell everything that he had for this treasure? Well, if the treasure is Jesus, why so much value? Well, you almost have to know him to know. And I begin to think about this, and here's number one, salvation for my soul. Now, here's the issue. For a person to be saved, they got to realize they're lost. A lot of people, they don't want it. They don't want to believe in God. I don't know why they're so quick to follow the things of the world, the things that aren't of God. But salvation for my soul, and here's something that's so important, forgiveness for all my sins. Mercy when I deserve judgment. And grace that saved a wretch like me. And here's something that's very important to me as a Christian. I've been a Christian a long time. Even longer than when I graduated, boys. As I tell you what's precious to me and why there's so much value in this treasure, is because of a personal relationship with the living God. When the Holy Spirit comes and Jesus said, after I leave, I'll send you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and he'll guide you into all things. I want to tell you something, folks. My personal relationship and peace with God has value. It has value. Amen. And it doesn't matter what you have in this world. If you don't have any peace, what do you have? And then I think about this. I've got more years behind me than I got in front of me. I don't know if you ever stop and think about it. How much time do you think you have left? For some people, they say, I hope I have 5 years. I hope I have 10, 20. Some of you young people, it's never even crossed your mind. I remember when I was 15, I thought I was invincible. The truth is, if I live another 20 years, I'll outlive my dad. I'll outlive my granddad. I'll outlive my great-granddad. I don't know. But here's why this treasure is so much importance to me. It's when I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen. See, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means when I close my eyes in death and my life is over, I am just like that in heaven.
Yes.
How far is heaven? It does not matter if you travel at the speed of thought.
Amen.
It's just not just something we think about. But see, here's the point. People try to put God in the world's box. We understand the speed of light. We understand the speed of sound. God is everywhere present and nowhere absent.
Amen.
He's not confined by what man can understand. You see, this treasure has so much value. I can't hardly even explain it to you. Well, here's something else you got to do. When you see that treasure, you got to reach out for it. Seeing and recognizing it, but not doing something about it is not enough. Sometimes there are people that come in here and the word is shared. This person acknowledges that they need Jesus Christ and they need to be saved, but they never step out and make a decision to accept Christ. Today might be somebody's day this morning. You say, well, I'm just not wanting to make a public confession. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouths and we believe in our heart, we're going to be saved. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. So I'm not going to be ashamed of him. There's nothing in this world that I would want to gain enough to lose my own soul. So you must reach out for the treasure and you must desire the things of God. But a lot of people have done this. They made a premeditated decision that they're absolutely not going to give up anything to come to Christ. It's almost like they come close enough, like a King Agrippa did to Paul. He said, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian, but almost is not enough. You must take the step. And the truth is, I've never seen anybody that was saved by the grace of God, that knew the peace of God, that's ever said to me, I regret becoming a Christian. I just don't run into those people. See, a lot of the world today is saying this. Get what you treasure away from me and give me back my, and you fill in the blank. See, you must recognize it, you must reach out for it, and you must receive it. And here's something about this treasure. This treasure is for you, but you have to accept it for you. You cannot receive this treasure on behalf of another. And I'm going to come back to that in just a minute. You have to be willing to buy the field. This man sold everything that he had and he went and he bought this field. You know, sometimes what God really wants, God doesn't want your money. God doesn't want your stuff. And you say, well, I'm not willing to give up. What you have to do is be willing to surrender to God.
Amen.
You say, well, I can't come because I can't. You don't come because you're able. You don't come because you're good enough. You don't come because you figured it out. You don't say, well, when I get cleaned up, then I'll come. It doesn't work that way. You come down and you accept Christ as your Savior, and He will help you be the best you that you can possibly be. You'll never be able to do it by yourself. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your heart. See, you got to receive the treasure. Now, I want you to consider what it means to reject the treasure, to reject Jesus. See, by rejecting Jesus, you are rejecting the kingdom of heaven. People say, well, I just don't know if I believe that. I want to ask you something. What do you believe? What do you believe? You get to the end of your life, and here's where we're at in America today. It's got to where there are more and more people, when it comes time for a funeral, they don't even know what to do anymore. You talk to some of these funeral directors that are preachers, and I know some, and they'll tell you, I have preached so many funerals because families come in here and they're destitute. They don't know a preacher. They've not been in church. Their family's a wreck. Their family's a mess. And some of them don't know what to do. What do you do when death comes when you don't know God? I was at a funeral one time, and a church was divided. One side of the family sat over here, and another side sat over here. One side of the family served God. The other side of the family said, we don't believe that stuff. They asked the preacher to preach, and while he was preaching, one of the family members came up and put a CD in behind the preacher of a song, I Did It My Way. And I'm sitting there, and I want to tell you, it's just like what's going on in the world today. My heart burned. But I want to tell you something. If you don't want God, you're not going to have Him. But if you're here this morning, I don't care what you've done in your life. I don't care where you've been. It don't matter what sin. You can say, well, I've done this, if anybody knows it. Nobody has to know it. But I can tell you this morning that Jesus can handle it. And if you'll bring it to Him, what it does is He washes you in the blood. And it makes you as white as snow. So that when God the Father looks at you, He doesn't see you as you are. He sees you through the blood of Jesus. Just like a little baby. But why do people reject it? For what? And I think about this. Remember, what is the most important thing in your life? The scripture in Mark chapter 8, verse number 36 and 37 says this, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So think about, what is the most important thing in your life? There are people today that want more than anything else to be famous. They want to win American Idol or The Voice or whatever, something like that. And they want to be famous. They want their name in lights. That's why these politicians fight so much. Most of them don't care anything about the country. They just want the power. But they want to win American Idol. They want to be famous. They want to be beautiful. They want to be rich. How much is enough? Heard a question asked one time of a man who, if he spent millions of dollars every day, as long as he was expected to live, he'd never be able to spend everything that he had. How much is enough? He said, a little more. A little more. As I begin to think about this message, and I begin to think in my heart, and God began to speak to me, what's the most important thing in your life? It's almost like the Holy Spirit asked me, and I'll tell you where I'm at. The most important thing in my life is that my children and my grandchildren know Jesus. Amen. And that they live their life to honor Him. And as I say that, and I mean that, and I look over here at you young people. Now, I love my kids, okay? But I'll tell you what's the second most important thing in my life. Is that you know Jesus. And that you live your life to honor Him. Amen. And you know, I've been saved by the grace of God, and I know that I'm going to heaven. Okay, I'm going. It's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's because everything that I've ever brought to put under the blood has covered it. Amen. But this is how much I mean what I just said. I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, I don't believe that. I don't know if I could do that. Think about what's most important to you. If I could go to hell on behalf of one of my children to keep them from having to go, I'd go.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
But I can't. And as I think about that and I think about what's important, I guess as Christians, and I mentioned it earlier, church, if there's ever been a time that we surrender and follow God, it's now. And when our young people come in here and they see us and they see us serving God, it needs to be real enough that what's out there in that world doesn't pull them away.
Amen.
So where is your treasure? What do you treasure? I wish that I could take Jesus, just make sure everybody's got him. But I can't. But I would. Now, I want to give you this, and we're going to close as Brother Jeff's going to come and sing. Have you considered how much Jesus loves you? What was the most important thing to Jesus? You know, there's a verse of Scripture that says this. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, just sinners, worst state, Christ died for us. There's another place that says, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But Jesus died for us in our worst state. I stand here and I say this about my children, and I love my children. I love my little old grand boys. And we got a little old grand girl coming, and we talked about it this week, Brother Tom. We can't wait to see what she's going to look like.
Amen.
But you understand that love?
Oh, yeah.
God loved you on your worst day, when you were in your worst place, doing the worst things. He said, I'm going to go to earth. I'm going to live down there among those people that reject me and ridicule me. I'm willing to come in an humble state because I love them so much. Then I'm willing to go to the cross and pay the price for their sin. You see, Jesus was willing to come and do that for you because he treasures you that much. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart and you'd like to pray, would you please come? Is there somebody maybe you want to pray for that needs Jesus? Now's the time. Now's the time. Because we don't know how much more time we're going to have. Would you please come?